Jones, we have top men working on it right now.
He was a most ripping victory.
No! Get to the chopper!
Welcome to the Parkway Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt.
And I'm Byron.
And I'm Ward from the Parkway Theater.
And my first question is, what did you guys think of my hacked up mashup of this movie and Guns N' Roses? Am I a DJ genius, or should I go back to the drawing board?
I feel like there's a tempo difference going on here.
I think so, too.
There's a slight tempo difference, but gosh darn it, I really love the cover that they did in this movie. I'll give you a pass.
Yeah, so this movie is Captain Fantastic. We teased it last time. A movie that's one of Byron's favorites, and Ward and I had not ever seen before. So we're going to talk a little bit about why we're reviewing this one. It is in our theme of exposing the other two co-host to movies that one of us enjoys very much. But first, let's check up on some things. Ward, let me ask you, how is things going being a teacher, business owner, entrepreneur, father, husband, all the things, stuck at home, corona person? How's it going?
It's the struggle is real. That's all I can say about it. But we're doing some rentals at the Parkway Theater. If somebody wants to watch one of their favorite movies with a group of their friends, it's kind of a cool thing to do there. So we're doing a little bit of that. It's a little busy.
Yeah. Oh, right? Good.
A little busy.
Good. Oh, so you're saying that when I want to watch my favorite Halloween movie, of course, The Monster Squad. Everyone listen back last Halloween, everyone, to that episode. Then I have to actually plan around some of the busyness at the theater. Well, I'll have to think about that.
I would not go so far as to say that. I think if you would like to do that, the calendar will accommodate you.
Okay, well,
At least for now, it will.
Mm, I'm excited. I'm going to get 7 of my closest friends, because I feel like that's the magic number of staying away from corona in a theater that seats 350, is that right?
365. There will be plenty of room for you to socially distance.
With me and my 7 friends, nice.
365, one seat for every day of the week, every day basically.
That's
of
right.
The year.
Nice. Well, Byron, what about you? How's things going for you? Are you still driving around in your work office?
I've transitioned more from the road warrior that I was during the summer, mainly driving around and looking at things from my job. I've now gone back to my desk with mask, of course, and have transitioned into a new period where starting design and other things and other paperwork on next year's projects, which makes it very interesting. And still am just waiting on to get back to some of my other fun activities I always like to do, such as, like, I don't know, rock climbing and jiu-jitsu and other
Ooh.
Things like that. But in the
Ooh.
Meantime, I am staying at home and watching a lot of interesting films.
Byron, that's a good teaser into, we're going to call back to that comment you just made about those activities that you're doing. I have some thoughts around that related to this movie.
Yep, that's why I said
it. It is October, of course. It's the Halloween season. And boy, I have got to tell you guys, it's great to talk to you about movies tonight. And I love Halloween movies. I mean, I always forget every year, like, this is the time for movies for me. I don't like scary movies, but I like Halloween movies. And I usually can't watch a lot of movies because, you know, I'm parenting and working from home and doing all kinds of stuff. So I've been listening to other people's podcasts about Halloween movie series, and I think I have about 12 hours of podcasts under my belt so far this week about Friday the 13th, about Halloween. I mean, I've listened to podcasts about every single movie in these series of movies, which are extensive, right? So I love Halloween. What is your general thoughts on Halloween movies? I don't know if we talked about this last year with Ghostbusters or Monster Squad. What do you think, Ward? Are these your best time of year for movies, or are you more of a, I don't know, Valentine's Day movie guy?
I love those rom-coms. I like scary movies. You know, I've got a 17-year-old daughter who's obsessed with scary movies right now. Ooh. So I'm kind of reliving the whole catalog of my life of scary movies and realizing that she doesn't think movies that I am terrified of are really that scary. So,
well,
that's a little disappointing.
It must be great, though, to be able to actually expose your kid to some of these movies that, like, my kids are 5 and 2, and I, you know, I'm just like, oh, I asked my wife, should we show them, you know, what, should we show them Jaws this year? It's like, no, that would be child abuse. You can't show a 5-year-old Jaws. well, you know, so again, more callbacks in this movie to what child abuse is and whatnot. But Byron, what about you? Are you a Halloween movie guy?
I've never been the biggest fan of horror films in general. I guess I'll throw that in as a category of, like, a subcategory of Halloween films. But in general, for a lot of different Halloween films, I am a big fan. It seems like there's been a lot more films directed towards just trying to scare you in Halloween movies, and I'm usually not the big fan of those. In general, I am a big fan of Halloween films. This is generally my favorite time of year because, like you said, it gives me a good excuse to watch films like Ghostbusters and now Monster Squad, which you introduced me to last year.
Well, I'm glad to
hear that. So you guys are not, you guys are not into scary movies, but you're into Halloween movies. So are we talking like Hocus Pocus?
Well, I tried to watch Hocus Pocus with my 5-year-old, and within the first 5 minutes, it was too scary. We had to turn that off. So depends on who you're.
Oh,
it is terrifying.
No!
It depends on
it's
who you're saying.
It's a terrifying film.
I mean, they do suck the soul out of a child in the first 5 minutes, so that is, you know, you got to keep that in mind. But
wow. I think, don't they also suck the soul out of the viewers over the course of the entire movie?
It's been so long since I've seen it, but you know what? As a theater owner, Ward, I think you need to check into showings of Hocus Pocus. That was the number one rated movie.
You know,
last week,
honestly, we did sell that out last year. So
yeah,
whatever derogatory comment I just made about Hocus Pocus, please edit it from this podcast.
Yes, I remember
that thing is a cash cow.
I remember the discussion from last year. It was like, we put Hocus Pocus on and it was crazy sold out. And I think, yeah, people love that movie. I don't know why. It's the Sarah Jessica Parker effect, I guess. I don't know. Or, you know, one of the other two. Well, let me tell you how much I like Halloween movies. The last movie that we discussed on this podcast was Billy Madison. And my comment was, this is the worst movie that I had seen in 10 years. it was Adam Sandler acting like an idiot. And it's sort of his thing in movies. Well, I like Halloween movies so much that today I watched Hubie Halloween on Netflix, which is probably the fifth in the 5 movie deal that Adam Sandler has with Netflix, and it was hilarious. And I would say it was awesome. It's brand new.
Oh, dear.
It's brand new this week. It is exactly like Waterboy meets Ernest, you know, whatever the Ernest Halloween movie is.
Ernest Scared Stupid. You mean one of the best films ever made?
Yeah, it's like, but it's like if Waterboy was in that role or in that universe. It was phenomenal. I laughed. I cried. I was scared at some points. And it starred all the same people that were in every other Happy Madison production, right? It had Rob Schneider. It had Kevin Arnold. It had all these Saturday Night Live alums, right? It had what's the ugly guy from now I'm blanking on from Armageddon and all those other movies and
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi, yeah.
Steve Buscemi? Okay.
Steve Buscemi's in that thing. Boy, Hubie Halloween is like watching Billy Madison, but Halloween, and I liked it because it was Halloween related. And here's the other thing, spoiler alert, there are no new movies coming out, so the fact that this was a new movie, I was all for it. I was in. You guys should check it out.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes has not given us a score yet, so I cannot pass judgment.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that you said that Billy Madison is the worst movie you've seen in 10 years, I'm steaming right now. I'm fired up.
Well, I said that on the last podcast when we recorded it.
So. That's true.
But
I have to say I'm intrigued because one of my favorite movies of all time is Ernest Scared Stupid.
Okay.
And you've also now you've gone from a score of 0 to a score of 10 combining these two movies. I guess does that make it a 5? I guess maybe it's a good enough movie. I might have to go watch it.
I mean, check it out. It's just Netflix is our savior in these low box office times. Well, okay, Byron, I think we've reached that point here in the pod where you need to give us the lowdown on how you found this movie, Captain Fantastic, 2016 movie. We'll get to the numbers in a bit, but tell us why you picked this one.
All right. I guess this kind of started as a long-running joke on air and off air. Maybe you guys kind of remember this. The long-running joke is that I really haven't seen any of these movies. Mm-hmm. That we've talked about, and it's I think we ultimately said something to a point in exasperation of, okay, what movies have you seen and what movies have you guys not seen?
Yes.
And I guess that's kind of where it started, where it was I just decided to pick a film that I know that I've seen, and it turned out that you guys hadn't seen this film, which was Captain Fantastic. I first came across this film, I saw it once in a trailer. I can't even remember the film I went to go see it at, but I remember being so just intrigued by this trailer. And looking back on it now with doing research for this show, it's just your basic run-of-the-mill, quote-unquote, indie trailer, like a lot of different ones that came out at the same time. I'm thinking of, like, Little Miss Sunshine and, some other ones. And they're kind of it's kind of that similar whole theme and setup and everything, but for some reason this film intrigued me, and looked around for it if I could go watch it when it came out, couldn't find anything, and then ended up just renting it, talking about Netflix. I still have the DVD option on Netflix, so I ended up getting it on DVD, which took a super long time because they didn't really have a lot of copies. And
they still do they still have that?
They still do. It's called DVD.com now. Actually ended up splitting off. I remember there was a couple years ago, there was a big uproar about it switching to Quicksilver or something like that, and they ended up staying as Netflix, and then they ended up changing again when people stopped paying attention. And getting back to this, as the credits were rolling, I, for some reason, just fell in love with this film. I don't know exactly if I can articulate exactly why I loved this movie, but was buying it as the credits were rolling. That is my whole story, I guess, with how I first encountered this film.
And why is it...
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but I love this movie. I thought Jessica Alba was incredible. Chris Evans pre-Captain America.
Wow.
Doing his thing, Human Torch, Michael Chiklis from The Shield as Thing, like this shit was off the hook. I liked it.
Well, so,
it was good.
So and just out of curiosity, what was the title of the movie that you saw?
Fantastic Four, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it's something fantastic.
Mr., you know, Mr. Yep. Fantastic, stretchy guy. Yeah.
Well, Byron, I think we have a problem. Should I hit stop here? Or
maybe we should, but maybe we can work this out. They're kind of similar, aren't they?
Well, I think we got to tell Ward we're talking about Captain Fantastic. It's 2016 movie starring Viggo Mortensen. That's right, Mortensen. Yeah, that's the best last name. Did you watch that movie also, or no? What are we gonna do?
Just pause the podcast. I'll quick go check that out, and then we'll hop back on here.
All right. All right, we're going to pause for a minute. Here we go. Okay, we're back.
How was it? Keep going.
What did you think?
Sorry.
Give us your initial thoughts then on this movie then, Ward. Now it's your turn.
Again, Fantastic Four, that was great. But this was, I liked it. I thought it was good. It was an interesting theme. It kind of, I related to it in the sense that my kids go to this kind of alternative school called City of Lakes Waldorf School, and, you know, they have no screen time, and they're not, like, out in the woods, like,
killing
animals with their bare hands and drinking blood, but, you know, they've got kind of a quirky education going on. So I thought it was kind of like Waldorf School gone mad, which I appreciated. Good acting, good, you know, you got a little full frontal Viggo. You know, it had really everything you want out of a movie.
Yes, this was just an elaborate ploy to get you to look at Viggo Mortensen.
My very last bullet point on my things to talk about just says full frontal Viggo. We were burying the lead there. But I do have, I do, speaking of that, I have one question for you guys. Hold on one second.
Whoops. Sexual intercourse?
Could you help me out there?
I think Viggo actually answered it pretty well in this film. I think you need to go back and watch that.
Well, I mean,
you know, a side story on that. Uh-huh. The other night, my son, my 14-year-old, hopefully this doesn't come back to me that I'm telling this story, but he's watching The Office in his bedroom, and I hear him ask Siri, "What is OBGYN?"
And hey, I'll show you some pictures from the internet. Oh, great, great. That's what you want. Oh, man. Well, I can tell you my initial reaction was I thought, you know, if I step back, I watched this movie, I watched it last night, and, you know, if I just step back and think about the movie, the themes, the, you know, everything as a whole, it strikes me as a very sad movie about, I mean, these kids, they lose their mom, and then they face the possibility of losing their dad, and it's just like, it's just a real heart-wrencher, you know? I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that happens in between, but it's a real heart-wrenching to see kids, you know, in that situation. So that was my initial thoughts. I have many more thoughts about specific scenes and things, but I probably would not have seen this movie if Byron had not picked it, so I appreciate that, Byron, and the podcast for making it possible, but... I would not have been exposed to this any other way. One thing I wanted to do, and I actually didn't get a chance, Byron, maybe you have the answer to this. Was this film nominated for any awards, major awards?
It was nominated. Here we go. I believe it was nominated for an Oscar. I thought it was.
Okay.
Golden Globe. I'm sorry.
What was it?
Mortensen was nominated for a Golden Globe and Academy Award for Best Actor.
Oh, great. Well, hey, Golden Globe, that's as good. I'm not shocked. He did a great job. I mean, it was very compelling. When he shaved his beard, though, I mean, I was like, wow, the range, the range on this guy. He shaved his beard? That's phenomenal. Oh, boy. Well, let's jump right in. I don't know, Byron, do you want to, give us a first point or topic of discussion?
I guess the first thing I always wanted to talk about, you talked about the range of Viggo Mortensen. I think one of the initial things that drew me to this film was I think Viggo Mortensen is one of my favorite actors, if not my favorite actor of all time.
Okay.
I think this ultimately what did draw me towards this was I really did like him in a lot of other films. Like I've seen other things that he's done, like Eastern Promises and A History of Violence, and not just Lord of the Rings, but I mean, I always liked him as Aragorn in Lord of the Rings, but I, for some reason, liked him as an actor and thought that it was going to be a good movie. What else? I had also just seen The Road before this, which is also one of my favorite books.
Yes.
And I don't...
Byron likes so depressing things.
I guess
things.
That's ultimately what it turned me on.
Byron likes depressing things, basically.
I do really do like depressing things, I guess. Ultimately, I do like depressing things. It's funny you mentioned that this whole thing about the... You mentioned in your intro about the strain this puts on the children.
Yes.
A lot of movies I've seen, or a film that I've seen this compared to a lot, which I think is almost kind of an inverse of this film, is have you guys ever seen The Glass Castle?
I have not.
No, I have not.
Okay. It's kind of a similar film to this, but it ends up with, it has a little bit more of a somber ending than this film, and it involves kind of problems when it comes with raising children, and I don't know, I guess this, for me, has been an example I've always held up to people. When I'm talking about films, I usually will try to put them into two different categories of, not just two different categories, but two main ones that I like to put them in, is there are fun to watch movies and there are good movies. And there can be good movies that are not necessarily fun to watch. And I think Captain Fantastic is a good example of a what I would call a good movie that is not necessarily fun to watch.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, many good movies are good but not fun to watch. Yeah.
And so let me, like you said, the acting is good. It is very thought-provoking. It certainly caused a lot of thinking after watching this movie, like, why did this movie appeal to me? What are some of the things that I could take away from this? Is there anything that I shouldn't take away from this? Are there things that I can look at myself, you know, kind of using this film as holding up a mirror to myself and my own thinking, is like, is this okay?
Yeah, that's a good point. What were you going to say, Ward?
Yeah, so I guess a question for both of you. So you had said early in the podcast, Matt, that, you know, the strain put on the children. I think... for me, I don't know if this was intended by the filmmakers, but I found myself kind of going back and forth.
Yes?
It was good or not, the way he was raising his kids. Like, you know, there was some stuff that was horrifying, you know, but then there was other stuff, like this radical honesty that he was doing, where I was kind of, you know, or else you would see certain scenes where, you know, these kids were obviously educated really well, and on the one hand, they were able to, you know, recite all of these, you know, amazing things that the kids in the mainstream schools weren't able to. But then at the same time, they knew absolutely nothing about socializing with kids outside of their own family.
Yeah.
So it was kind of there was definitely like a seesaw battle in my head of sometimes feeling like cringy, like, oh, God, this guy is a terrible father. And then other times being like, oh, this guy's actually a pretty good father.
Yeah, this is the conversation I had with my wife. I actually, for the first time ever, I convinced my wife to watch this movie with me for the podcast, and that's what she was saying this morning was, oh, I was thinking about that movie, and you know, it's not easy to tell, was it good or was it bad what they were doing, and you know, some things are good, some things are bad. Where I came down was basically the fact that he was teaching them how to fight with a certain amount of lethality with the knife fighting scenes, you know, and in the woods. That was crossing the line for me. But all the rest of the stuff, I mean, you know, I was at Taylor's Falls, and for those listeners who aren't in Minnesota, Taylor's Falls is a big rock climbing haven in the state. I was at Taylor's Falls 2 weeks ago, and there was a couple of dads there who were climbing with kids that ranged from 3 years old, or maybe let's say 4 to be generous, 4 years old to you know, 15, and it was like, yeah, this is what we're doing. I mean, they're harnessed, they're appropriately safety protected, and you know, I mean, there's a scene in this movie like that where he's climbing with them, and that his one kid gets hurt, and then later on the grandpa says, oh, how did he get hurt, and he blames it on the rock climbing thing, and all that stuff I sort of take with you know, parents, man, they can choose how they want to raise their kids. But probably don't teach your kid how to kill another kid with a knife. That's where the line is drawn for me.
Oh, I can see that. And that's, I think that's why this movie is so intriguing for me, is because I, applying some sort of judgment to it, I almost can't. Like, you can't just blanket say, well, this person was good or this person was bad, because, I mean, everybody in this film had a good reason. They had a good point of view of where they were coming from. Nobody was, you know, nobody was bad.
Well, except,
I would say, as a judgment.
Except Steve Zahn, though. I mean, I don't like Steve Zahn.
I love Steve Zahn.
You got to rip on Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn is a Minnesota hero, a hometown hero for us.
Yeah, that is good old Steve Zahn. He tries to come off as the most neutral person, and that probably in this film, which seems to be so black and white to one extreme to the other, coming across as neutral almost comes across as bad in some ways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a hard situation. I like that. Let me ask you guys another question. If we could jump from one heady topic to another. Byron, you mentioned some of your activities that you're doing here, jiu-jitsu and things. And I had a question that this movie inspired. Have either one of you, or it's a question to both of you individually, have you ever tried to live a lifestyle or even just do a kind of thing, whether it was a hobby or a job or whatever, that isn't really generally accepted by the society that is immediately surrounding you?
You know, that's a good question. I think I'd first have to ask, like, what is generally accepted by society around me? I mean, we live in a state where there are rock climbing gyms, so I would say, yeah, a lifestyle of being a rock climber in Minnesota is probably not generally accepted as much, because we don't really have any mountains mm-hmm. or anything, but I've done that. Mm-hmm. I train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's a martial art, a grappling martial art, which probably not as general and not as common as, say, like Taekwondo. Mm. So that's probably something that'd be a little bit more obscure.
Does it hurt when they do the...
Definitely a lot harder.
When they do the waxing for that, does that hurt?
Yeah, it's pretty... It's hands-on waxing and wax off, so...
and it's Brazilian wax on, wax off.
Your karate
so
kid.
That's... okay. Maybe that joke's not landing, but it's Brazilian wax on, wax
well,
off.
Well,
Brazilian wax on, wax off. Yeah, that's where my mind went, but I didn't want to say it, but thank you for saying it.
Yeah.
You stole my thunder, because I was going to say, for my only thing that would qualify is that I watch Cobra Kai.
Oh, I think now it's on Netflix. It's widely accepted. It jumped from YouTube TV or whatever the hell it's called, YouTube Red or whatever, to that. I mean, the reason I ask, okay, obviously in this movie, they come out of the woods, right? They, like, are doing their thing, and then they have to go to their mom's funeral. I mean, at some point, we should probably talk about some of the plot of this movie. And they're going to their mom's funeral. It's a long drive in their bus named Steve, which, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
And so it's awkward for them, because they have to go shopping and they have to interact with kids at the campground, yada, yada. So I lived in Germany for a year, and when I came home, I thought, I am going to live the kind of life I lived in this German city I was living in, which meant I biked everywhere.
Oh, boy.
I biked everywhere, and I walked everywhere, and I would, you know, buy like 1 day or 2 days of groceries at a time. And it was just like the society I lived in Germany had a certain structure. And when I moved to the suburbs of Minnesota, it didn't work, because if I wanted to walk somewhere, I had to cross two highways to get to a grocery store. So I wasn't going to walk, you know, across two highways that wasn't really pedestrian friendly to buy my, you know, groceries every single damn day, you know. And it was like, mm-hmm. wow, this whole thing is designed around people with cars that are driving for 45 minutes a day. And, you know, like, it just was so alienating to try to be different. And I said to my friends, like, I'm going to be this life and it's going to work. I don't care what you say. It just didn't work. It just collapsed within probably, I want to say, 2 or 3 months. And this was 10 years ago. But within 2 or 3 months, it collapsed. I'm like, nah, I need a car. Okay, I'm driving to Target. I'm going to Costco. I'm buying things by the American bulk size. And that's just my life now. So it's a challenge for sure. Very difficult.
It certainly is. And that was something else that I kind of, I guess, admired about something in this film was Viggo Mortensen as a father. I guess here we were kind of going back and forth whether we should judge him as good or bad. But I can respect the fact that he was trying to stay as close to the principles that led him out into the woods.
Yes, right.
Then I can respect that. And ultimately, I don't know whether it actually positively affected or negatively impacted the kids, but, I mean, it certainly did something.
Yeah, and also, importantly, we don't know how it actually impacted his wife, because by the time we tune into their life, his wife has already, you know, died or is very close to dying. And so he, later on in the movie, he says, yeah, I don't know if I helped her or hurt her. I thought it would help. And I think that as in the audience, we don't know. Like, I mean, maybe it was helpful for her to be out there and away from all the pressures of normal society, but we just can't know. And he's, you know, he's obviously struggling to come to grips with that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
yeah, he's certainly struggling whether he should come to that responsibility for if he's responsible for that, or if he's should feel like that he's okay with whatever happened. But still not sure, I guess, kind of thinking about it still.
I think in the end, though, spoiler alert, he does find a sense of balance, you know, and I guess, you know, everything in moderation. They're still leading kind of an alternative lifestyle, but a little bit more mainstream, which seems, I don't know. I think we're left to feel that that's a healthy balance.
I think you're absolutely right, and that is my very next larger point that I wanted to discuss, because the funny thing is, I did not think that when Byron picked this movie, there was going to be a tie-in to the pandemic that we are currently, at the time of this recording, we are currently living in a kind of a quarantine lockdown pandemic, in the U.S. at least. And but this movie does tie in, and the reason is because where they end up in this movie, and I agree with Ward that it is a nice balance for this family and for this man. It appears to be a small farm or a ranch of some kind. They've got their bus is now full of chickens, and they have like a little house, and the kids are going to public school or some school, and they're taking the bus, and he's making them lunches, and it feels like, yeah, they're living a simple life, but he's also engaging in society. You know, this GD pandemic has taken away from me things like the Parkway Theater, where I can go to movies. It's taken away things like the Mall of America, where I can walk around and see the latest, you know, gear and clothes that people have designed. It's taken away all the things I like to do in a major city like our city, our twin cities are. And so I actually have been, you know, engaged in discussions with my wife about how I would like to, I could actually see, I could see living that life that they live at the end of this movie.
Matt's going off the grid.
I'm going off the grid.
Yeah, Matt's going off the grid.
You know, I spent my listeners to my other podcast, the City Slickers Minute, know that for my 40th birthday this year, we went to a ranch in New Mexico, and it was amazing. I thought it was, yeah, it was very enlightening. But the thing is, when you live in a big city with a million people in the metropolitan area, and you can't actually go to the Institute of Arts, you can't go to the Walker Arts, you know, the Walker Institute of Arts, you can't do any of the things, go to movies, it sort of makes you think, at least it makes me think, like, oh, well, what if I just had a chicken coop and, you know, and 40 acres somewhere in the middle of nowhere? I think that... I actually really resonated. The end of this movie really resonated with me. So then my question to you two is, what did this movie and seeing this crazy life that they were living, and then at the end they come to some kind of more agricultural life or whatever, has this pandemic, since it shut down most of what we think of as civilized activities, I mean, has this made you have the same crazy thoughts that I've been having?
Well, first of all, let me say that if things keep going the way they are, when the pandemic's over, some of those great arts things that exist in the Twin Cities aren't going to come back. Hashtag save our stages, saveourstages.com.
Exactly. You got to plug that a little more. Give us a little more background on that, because that's a major initiative.
Initiative trying to save
it
the...
It is. Yes, we need to talk about
save the
that.
Arts in Minnesota. But no, I think that I felt a little guilty watching this movie. Like, at the end of the movie, especially, you know, the kind of choices I make with my time, you know, I'm watching Cobra Kai. I'm not exactly bettering myself as a human being with all of this time I'm left with the pandemic. But at the same time, I think, you know, as the family unit, my family unit, we're spending a lot more time together than we did before.
Yeah. Ditto here on my part. It's insane. Which is also really contributing to my feeling like, well, should I should I be, you know, shuffling my kids off to a different place for 8 to 10 hours a day? Or should I just, you know, shoulder that responsibility myself and maybe...
Show them how to murder an animal with their bare hands, you know?
Well, okay.
Well, why not?
Why not? And Byron, unless you were going to jump in on that other topic, I do want to bridge over to, since Ward just said that, I want to bridge over to some of the experiences that you and I have had as younger men.
I do actually have a little piece that I wanted to talk about, because ideally going into this film, from watching the trailer, I did have aspirations of going off-grid, you know, quote-unquote, being that off-grid guy. Uh-huh. And after watching this film, it really does a good job illustrating how much it actually will handicap you if you try to actually raise a family from being completely 100% off-grid. Yeah. And you have to find a balance. Going into the idea of COVID, a thought that I had that popped up as I was watching this film was, I don't know if I can phrase this correctly, but maybe this is, bear in mind, this is kind of a half-formed thought. Maybe I can figure it out as I articulate it a little bit more, is sometimes personal tragedies or larger tragedies are the catalyst for the most personal growth or the most amount of personal growth you can endure.
Yeah.
Because if, let's just say, like, let's say his wife hadn't died, they would have lived in these woods and been isolated forever. But because of this whole catalyst that happened and they had to go out and experience life, everyone ended up growing in this film, and they ended up having a, you know, not only just a character arc, but they ended up growing as people and gaining more perspective.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, I guess kind of linking this into COVID, I mean, it's kind of seems kind of trivial to say it this way, but it's like maybe this is a catalyst for a lot of people to start their own personal growth, or at least kind of grow in a different direction, and at least kind of look at themselves and to figure out if this is exactly what they want to be doing. Like you had said, it's moving out to a different area, or maybe, you know, moving to 40 acres.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly where I was going, was, you know, this has forcibly stripped away some things that I did with my daily existence, and it makes me think, well, maybe none of that was important. Maybe what's important is just hanging out with my wife and kids and feeding the chickens or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's, you know, right or wrong, or that I'm unique in that. I just think that... Yeah, it's very weird that this movie brought that up when I didn't think that was going to happen with your pick of Captain Fantastic.
Oh, no, me neither. And I, like I said, I think I picked this film. This was the one that I think I picked that I knew you guys hadn't watched. But it's serendipitous how relevant it was.
Well, yeah, it totally is. And, you know, jumping back to when Ward said... his comment about killing things in the woods or whatever. Byron, we do have to say, full disclosure, that our fathers put us in the woods with guns where we killed animals and we then ate the hearts. Right?
Yes.
We did.
Yes, both of us had did this.
So, Ward?
As we're watching this film, as we're watching this opening scene, which definitely was a good shocker, I completely forgot that was the opening scene. Spoiler alert, if you are going to show this to kids, don't.
Yeah, don't.
This may be the reason.
It certainly brought back a lot of memories of going out and deer hunting and realizing the amount of violence that is involved with it.
Yes.
This may be the reason the two of you are men and I am not.
Well, to be fair, our dads did not gut the deer and feed us the... I think it was a liver in this movie, not the heart, but, you know...
Yeah, it was definitely a liver.
Yeah,
I could tell that from my experience.
Yeah,
that was a liver, not a heart.
Yeah, definitely. But what our dads did is they at least boiled the heart, which to me was still disgusting, but hey, you know, we're men. We're men for it, I guess.
Yes.
Man.
What was your favorite part, Matt? Was it the left ventricle or the right ventricle?
God, remember we used to make that joke all the time. God, I think I used to say...
I always thought I'd bring that up.
Used to say left ventricle tastes the best, I think. But, man, in reality, I thought the whole time, like, I feel a little tainted for having done this. But Okay, well, the thing is, I have one other note here that says, don't you just love that that little blonde kid, and I think it's a boy, you can't even tell, he's always wearing that damn fox or coyote hat on him all the time. That's so funny to me. Everywhere he goes in the hospital, in the doctor's office, and he's sitting there wearing that hat, and he goes, what's wrong with all these people? Are they sick? And then they're like, why? He said, they're so fat.
Yeah, that's right.
That little kid. That little kid comes out of the bus naked.
Radical honesty, I think, is another thing that... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, Byron, you were digitized there. What'd you say?
Oh, I was going to say, something else that really appealed to me in this film was just the amount of... I think Ward had used this earlier, and I know I've heard this before, radical honesty.
Oh, yeah.
In talking about things that you don't necessarily would confront in your day-to-day life or even in films.
Yeah.
It certainly, there was some sort of appeal to me. I don't know if I can say anything else beyond that, but I guess I really liked it. It was refreshing.
Yes.
It kind of runs contrary in our house. We really try, like, a common thing what you hear us say is, like, let the kids be kids for as long as they possibly can. There's plenty of time, you know, in the future for them to learn how messed up the world is. So this is, like, the complete opposite. It's just, like, give it to them all at once. You know, why hold back?
Well, yeah, it's
but then the kids seem okay with it. Like, I mean, that's kind of the other interesting thing, is that they don't have that shock since they're grown up, or since they're raised with that amount of, I guess, harsh reality. They just accept it, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I think you have a major impact on what your demeanor, what your take towards life is. From a young age, if the, you know, it depends on how you were treated. And, you know, I mean, I think probably now, you know, now we're a little too, of course, there's the concept of helicopter parenting, and, you know, some kids believe in, you know, Santa Claus and the, you know, Easter Bunny until they're 14 or whatever crazy kind of coddling that happens. But there's a fine balance between. Yeah. So I'll cut that part out.
Perfect health.
I'll cut that part out. We don't want anyone listening to this to. To have their 35-year-old hopes and dreams dashed about Santa Claus.
On a somewhat related topic, for $1 million, no looking at any screens or cheating, can you name all of the kids' names?
No. There's only one of them in the world, Byron. So, of course, we can't. But if you want me to really do it, I'll pull it out of my memory. Let's see. Vodavon is...
IMDb.com.
That's right. Vodavon is the oldest, and then Keelier, and then Vesper, which is not a unique name, actually. I think that's right out of James Bond from our other pod.
Well, it's yeah, it is a martini. Well, it's a last name. It's not a first name.
I thought her name was Vesper Green. No? Oh, no, that's the actress's last name is Green.
No, yeah, Eva Green.
Yeah, you're combining Ava Green. And
You're right. So Relian and Zaja and Nye and Les... No, that's it. Nye. Leslie's not one. Harper. You know
what
else
Leslie
is funny?
Is probably not one. Harper, yeah. Dave. Dave's a unique Dave. Name, isn't it?
You got Steve and you got Elijah. It's funny that Catherine Hahn is in this. Is that her? Yeah, and she's like the funny, you know, lady in a bunch of, why am I blanking on Adam McKay movies? You know?
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. Yeah, I like her. But this does not seem like her role. Be doing this to me, but anyway, Byron, what else do you have for us? What else can we discuss about this movie that is your pick? And
you know, I think we've pretty much touched on everything that I really wanted to talk about, other than really the only other point that I had, I couldn't find a good place to fit this in, was I am always surprised every time when I've watched this film, the just visceral angry reaction I seem to have, irrationally angry at the father, Jack.
Okay.
I don't know why, but for some reason he plays this character perfectly to somehow, I don't know, at least get me mad, I guess.
You think it seems like he's being selfish, or what do you have any idea?
A little bit selfish, but then at the same time, and I think about it, well, he's a father who's grieving too. And I guess this is also why I I guess I like this movie is just how much of an internal conflict it causes me like, how do I justify how this character can act, but I can also understand how this character is acting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's a heady movie. It's definitely, it makes you think. And I think that everyone who watches it, there's no way to say who the good person is and the bad person, who's right and who's wrong. And so, yeah.
I do have one other point, I guess, I'd bring up, more of an open-ended question. I don't know if this would be a good one to end on, but might as well give it a shot. Put yourself in the position of Viggo Mortensen's character, Ben. Do you think you would give up your kids, given that whole situation that you would be involved with?
No, that seemed out of character.
No?
No. Well, I mean,
it does. Okay.
Ward, not only is it out of character, I mean, any half-assed dad is not going to just drive away from his kids.
Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, you get an apartment, you know, a block away.
Right.
But yes. Yeah, just...
And that was what I was wondering, because to me, for me, I'm not a parent. I'll admit, I'm the only one out of the three of us who is not a parent. But even for me, that seemed a little bit...
Yeah, it's extreme.
I guess...
Knee-jerk.
Not really how it would work.
Yeah, and you know what? The most out-of-character thing in the whole movie was, I think, Steve. I mean, at the end, Steve did something way out of character. I had no idea that Steve could contain all of the kids in his undercarriage.
Yeah, he's like the Millennium Falcon.
It's like, hey, where are they? There's nothing to see here. And then
think of the range. Think of the range. He goes from Millennium Falcon to chicken coop.
Oh, I mean, Steve, by far, not Steve Zahn, of course, not him, but Steve the Bus, best actor. Should have got the nod for best actor in this movie.
Should have got the nod.
Quite a pivot.
Oh, boy.
One other note I wanted to bring up, just some musical choices. I was thinking of, well, first of all, when they're in the grocery store doing the heist, did you guys notice that the theme from Titanic is playing in the background? I thought that was kind of strange. But the other one I was thinking of was, you know, what we started the show with, the a cappella Sweet Child of Mine, which reminded me of when I'm watching the movie, I could not help but think of Step Brothers when they're doing the a cappella version of Sweet Child of Mine in the car ride. And then that reminded me that Catherine Hahn, isn't she the wife in Step Brothers that's in the car singing Sweet Child of Mine,
I think you're right.
I think so. You're right.
Mind blown.
See, and for me, my mind, as soon as hearing Sweet Child of Mine, my mind immediately went to when Sweet Child of Mine was playing in another film of my favorites, The Wrestler.
Really? Well, so they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're absolutely everywhere. Well, I think you two missed the biggest musical highlight of the movie, which is, of course, the Glenn Gould Bach Goldberg variations. I have them here for you right now. This is...
Ah, thank you.
This is Variato number 3. And we will use this to play ourselves out. That's it for this episode.
Man, I'm impressed that you're able to do that while talking and doing a podcast.
Yes, thank you.
You're talented.
Thank you. Well, Ward, why don't you do this while talking on the podcast? Tell us what's going to come up at the theater. You said we can do rentals. What else is happening? Are there still virtual cinema happening, for instance?
There is still virtual cinema. You can find it at theparkwaytheater.com. And if you are interested in renting the Parkway Theater, it's a great way to have a night out in the middle of this cold upcoming COVID winter that we've got. You can check out on our website or email eddie@theparkwaytheater.com to learn more. Byron, what do you got coming up?
Let's see. On the Fun V podcast, we're still going the James Bond universe, and I think we are doing The Spy Who Loved Me or Moonraker. I know we did kind of those kind of close together, so I know one of those two, when you hear this podcast, one of those two is going
to
be out.
That's correct. Yes, and we're trying to catch up to that that April 2021 now release of...
The very elusive James Bond slips away again for another couple months.
Well, you know, as always, if you'd like to reach out to us here at the Parkway Podcast, you can do so by emailing parkwaytheaterpodcast@gmail.com or give us a call at 612-217-2520 and leave a voicemail. If you enjoyed this episode, coming up we'll be discussing Nightmare on Elm Street. That is going to be a divergence for a Halloween movie. Of course, I mean, I said I love Halloween movies. And we'll come back after that to some of the host's favorites that the other hosts haven't seen. For Ward and Byron, I'm Matt, signing off this episode of the Parkway Podcast. We'll see you next time.